Hi, everybody. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
This is what I call freedom. Well, I wanna say, I wanna tell you, I wanna say it. When you can do what you wanna do and go where you wanna go and live where you wanna live and love who you wanna love and be what you wanna be. Join what you wanna join.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Look, thank you. I'm so, all right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we are starting a brand new week off, folks. We got great guests scheduled to be on the show. They're going to talk about whatever there is to talk about. It doesn't have to be politics. It never has to be politics, but it's just something we do. And I do cover politics because I care about America. I care about you. I care about our future. And right now I see it's being threatened, and we have to talk about it, period. And it's a beautiful day outside in the city of Chicago. We were out there and just had a great time. Visited some of my old neighborhoods and things and memories cropped up. And it was just beautiful. It was just wonderful. And I'm glad you tuned in to the George Wilder Jr. Show, because this show is about you. It's not about me. However, I do. I'm at the helm. Yeah, of course. But, you know, it's about you. I mean, hey, well, I know there's 1,000 radio shows out here, 1,000 podcasts. I know that. But, you know, you just like you write a book. You write a book, you got to make that book stand out, because there's a zillion other books out there. A radio show, hey, you got to make your show shine because there's a zillion other radio shows, podcasts out there. You got a television show, you got to make it shine because there's 1,000 other television shows. You make a movie, you better make your movie a little bit better than the other movie because there's 1,000 movies out there. It's all competition, and it's all about what you do to make yourself, put yourself out there among the other folks who are doing the same thing that you're doing. You got to show that you're better than they are. You got to show that something about your show or what you do is unique, that is not about that other show that is similar. You just have to put yourself out there. And I've talked to authors who say they just can't sell a book, period. They've been an author for years and they can't sell it. What is something you not doing, period? Something you're not working it right, you know, because if your writing is good and you have a great cover and you have great content, and the first thing you have to do is get the word out, because this competition. I mean, I think there's about 250 million books published every year, if not every 6 months. People are actually publishing books. So and another thing, you got a lot of people on some of these book sites that are giving away free books, like Amazon. You can download free books. I mean, why would somebody want to buy your book for $12 if they can get something similar for free? You have to think of that too. You know, you have to really think of that, because it's real. But anyway, let's get back to it being such a great day in the city of Chicago. It's a great summer. I think summer has been, I think it was delayed a little bit in Chicago, but so far since June, I mean, it has been spectacular. It is, at least for the city of Chicago, and I'm hoping that it's been the same way for you folks. And today the show is going to last for just 60 minutes. Usually it's 90, but today it's going to be 60. Don't ask me why. It's just happened, but my show is actually an hour and a half long, but this time it's just an hour. And so you guys remember that, all right? 347-857-1762. And my guest today is author Sarah Lipton. Lipton, like Lipton tea. Sarah Lipton. I believe her book is called Journey Through Fear and Fantasy. See, we talk about everything on the show. You know, as long as there's conversation, it doesn't matter what you talk about. You know, as long as there's conversation. I know it's pinned politics, because I do cover politics. Like I said before, I think that needs to be covered. You can't really gloss over things that are happening in this country and in other places if it's politically motivated, you know, stuff like that. So we will talk some politics and everything, you know, and we'll see where it goes. But anyway, hey, wow, this is a brand new week. A brand new week that we're starting. I'm starting, and it's great to be back. It's great to be back 4 days a week. Wow. We're off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday doing other things. I'm writing. I'm playing. I'm producing. You know, so I'm meeting folks and everything. And I'm busy. Just whenever you figure that I'm not on the show live, I'm doing something. I'm busy. I never stop being busy. I love being busy. I love having things to do. You know, I love being in charge. It's nothing like being in charge, folks. And I love being in charge. I don't have to, there's no supervisor or manager looking over my shoulder because I am the supervisor and manager. But you can be too. I mean, get out of that rat race. You know, if you, especially if you go into a job that you do not care much for. Okay. But anyway, why? And that's another thing. Why go to a job that you hate? I had a guest on last week and we talked about that. And I don't think she answered that. But anyway, why go to a job you hate? You have to love your job. Love what you do. If you don't love your job, get out. You know, find something that will make you happy. Don't keep going to a job that's going on that you're not happy at. You know, like, you know, it's bullying or backbiting or backstabbing or whatever they call it now. So, you know, just get out of the rat race, you know, change jobs. They're out here. You can find them. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 6:11 straight up Chicago time, PM. And it may be a different time where you are. It could be an hour later or an hour earlier. It's all good. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. If you would like your product, service, or your book to be mentioned on the George Wilder Jr. Show twice a day, 4 days a week, right here on the George Wilder Jr. Show, just email the show or email its host for more details. Thank you.
Wow, can hardly say that, right?
Well, folks, in the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois, we finally have a budget. But, you know, so much damage has been done so far. It's going to take some time for Illinois to actually really get back up on its feet because right now we're limping along. But at least we're working. There's some functionality going on in the state of Illinois, which wasn't much before. Okay, we do have a budget. I mean, if you've been listening to the show, then you know that I've been kicking Rauner in his ass for not coming up with a budget to fund a lot of these things that need to be funded. We're in zillions of dollars in debt because of this guy, you know. So we do have a budget. We do have a budget in the state of Illinois. Thank God. After 2.5 years that there's been no budget, Rauner refused to sign a budget for whatever his warped reasons are for not signing a budget. You know, we didn't buy it, but we do have a budget. But still in all, things are getting back to normal slowly because, and I want to thank the General Assembly for that, for overriding Bruce Rauner's veto. Yeah, we were going to go into another tailspin because we were going to go 3 years without a budget. General Assembly, the state legislature in Illinois, under Democratic control with Republican vote, this guy, and he was pissed. He was mad as hell. He, the guy went around after he lost this, he went around his office, government, and he started firing people. He's still firing people. That's something I don't understand. Why are you firing people? They had nothing to do with this override. But you know what? He's so pissed off. He's so angry. He's still firing people as I am on the radio. He's still firing people, good people, loyal people, people who had nothing to do with him being overridden. He's responsible. He's the culprit. He's the reason why people chose to override him because we were in a mess. He's firing people who are talented. He's firing people who are loyal, straight up Illinoisans. I mean, this is crazy. What he's doing, folks. He's so pissed off that he's looking around at anybody to fire. And he's blaming people who had nothing to do with this override, and he's firing them. He's firing them. This is what Rauner is all about. He's all about taking away jobs. You know, he was so, he's like a child who doesn't get his way. So if he doesn't get his way or doesn't get what he wants, he goes and kicks the toy or smashes the toy because he didn't get what he wanted. And he, no doubt about it, he looked around for scapegoats and he found them working for him and he fired them all. So he is firing his own government. He's firing his own people. And the thing about this, he wants to be reelected. You ain't gonna have no team to help you be reelected, get you reelected, because you done fired them all. And if he's not firing people in his own circles, they're quitting. They're quitting. Because why are they quitting? Because he's tough to work for. He's an asshole. They're quitting because a lot of them are quitting because he's afraid they're going to fire him. So they just up and resign. And this is bad for him. This is bad for his administration, especially when he's running again. He wants to be reelected, but this guy will not be reelected to be dog catcher. I mean, he will not. He's just like Trump in a way. You know, throwing tantrums because he didn't get what he want. So he's going to fire everybody around him. If he could, he'd fire every senator and every representative in Illinois who overrid him. He'd fire them all, but he can't. They are elected by the people of their district. So he can't do that. But anyway, we have a budget in the state of Illinois, and I'm hearing, though we do have a budget, the schools are still in trouble because Rauner is threatening to veto school funding for pensions. So that means if you are getting a pension, if you will be soon getting a pension, Rauner doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. You know, I mean, hey, and I'm saying once again to the General Assembly, override him again. You know, I mean, override him again. This guy is not meant for Illinois. He hasn't done anything positive for Illinois. He has been a failed governor, a totally failed governor. I mean, a few days ago, I think we had flooding in Illinois. He showed up late. And then there was a clip where I seen of him saying, well, nobody asked me to come here. We're surveying the area. And one resident said, you don't need to be asked. And I agree with her. He doesn't need to be asked to come somewhere where he should be anyway. Now he's up a cliff because he's going to have to spend more money, but he doesn't want to, but he's going to have to, because now he's designated a lot of these flooding counties disaster areas. And when you do that, you have to monetarily help financially. And I know that he doesn't want to do it. And he may not. He may not. Because he says he's saying that he is looking it over. They're surveying it. But how in the hell can you look something over? I mean, you should have been surveying it from day one that it started. Get your ass up in a helicopter or an airplane and survey that town, that community. Look at all the flooding. That's all you need to do. You don't need for somebody to tell you that where it's flooding and where it's not flooding. You don't need someone to tell you that, well, it's not that bad. It's not that critical, so they don't need any money. Your job is to fly over these counties and these flooding areas to assess the scene. And the scene is pretty dire from what I saw. This guy, Rauner, is just trying to get out of not sending money in to help these folks who have lost everything through flooding, hard rains that happened 2 or 3, 4 or 5 days ago. And I'm hearing that some counties are still flooding, even though there's no rain. then there are some places that are cresting. But still in all, he declared some of these counties disaster areas, which makes them eligible for federal funds. But he doesn't want to do that. But he may have to. The guy acts as if the money's coming out of his own pocket. And it's not. He's just a nasty, snotty ass man who wants to see people suffer. That's it. And then he's lying and blaming other people. He's pissed off because the General Assembly, which is so. So if you want to say who is actually running the state of Illinois, it's not the governor. It's not him. He wanted Illinois to fall off the cliff. But the Democrats in the General Assembly, the legislatures, they saved it. And he's pissed off. He doesn't like it to be saved. We were going down to junk status. We were going to be a junk state. We were going to be a junk state because we didn't have a budget for 3 years. You know what Rauner said? Junk is good. Or actually what he said, he says, well, I'm not concerned about that. That was his words. I quote him. I'm not, because there was a reporter who asked him, what do you think about Illinois becoming a junk state? Well, I'm not concerned about that. Of course you're not concerned about Illinois becoming a junk state because you're a billionaire. The rest of us are. You know, this guy is crazy. He thinks he wants to be a dictator, just like Donald Trump. He wants to say things. He wants to give orders. And he wants you to do it. But he has to understand one thing. Those people, those Democrats and those Republicans in the General Assembly, they don't work for Rauner. And some of them have said that. I don't work for Bruce Rauner, you know, but he still tries to, he thinks he has a pretty good sounding voice. I admit he does. He sounds like a radio host because he has one of those deep voices, you know. And I guess he thinks that his voice was going to scare people. The sound of his voice was going to scare people in not overriding what he told them not to override, which is crazy. But anyway, we have a budget, but still in all, we're not out of the woods yet. But we do have a school crisis, and Rauner is threatening to veto funds for Chicago public schools. And that's awful. And my override him and give these schools what they deserve, you know, and give the teachers what they deserve. Something Rauner doesn't want to do. We have 70,000 state workers in Illinois. Their paychecks would have stopped if Rauner wasn't overridden. The lottery would have left and gone. A road construction would have halted. It would have been a total disaster. And you know what Rauner would have done? Blame other people. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault that he didn't sign a budget for 3 years. It was somebody else's fault. It was Mike Madigan. Michael Madigan right now is running the state. John Culloden is running the state. Rauner is not. He is not. Rauner hasn't done one goddamn thing that's positive for Illinois. And we have a budget coming up July 2018. And something tells me he's not going to sign another budget. He didn't sign any budget, actually. He's not going to sign the 2018 budget into law because he's so pissed off and he's so angry that we finally got one for 2017. However, if he doesn't sign a budget for 2018, and he wants to run for re-election, he can kiss his re-election chances goodbye, because his opponents are going to nail him with that. They're going to nail him with this 2017 budget and 2016 and 2015. All of these years, he didn't sign a budget. And from then on, not signing a budget, you threw Illinois into debt. We're digging ourselves out of a debt. There was no way that there wouldn't have been a tax increase. But the tax increases are, over time, is going to eliminate the debt, this big ass debt that in the millions that Rauner caused the state because he was too damn stubborn to do his job as the state constitution warrants. I've said this before, Republicans don't give a damn about a constitution. They take the constitution and use it as toilet paper. They don't give a damn. But it should be a provision in the constitution that says if you don't follow the laws and amendments in the constitution, you will be impeached. You know, because Republicans, they don't follow the constitution. Donald Trump, he doesn't. He probably blows his nose with the Constitution. These people do not follow the Constitution. And what do we have? We have Republicans in the White House. We have Republicans controlling the Senate. Republicans controlling the House of Representatives. The Republicans controlling state houses around the country. Republicans, the rich old Republicans. Some races, they are in charge. They are running the country and they are wrecking it. They are wrecking it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
And we're great to be back, folks. It is great to be back. I have a feeling you guys are going to have a little different comments than Tom Bossert had about that GIF. Let's look at it again. This happened just as we were ending our other roundtable. Okay, Anna, I got to start with you.
I'm a CNN commentator. I think that is unacceptable. I think that is the president of the United States taking things way too far. It is an incitement to violence. He is going to get somebody killed in the media. Maybe that will stop him. I am disappointed beyond belief by the answer that the Homeland Security Advisor just gave. What a wuss. What a wuss. You could see that he is ceding his principles. You are the Homeland Security Advisor and you can't stand here and say the difference between right and wrong. That's what's part of the problem. He is surrounded by enablers that do nothing but shake their heads and nod their heads in agreement with everything that he says. They have got to stop. They have got to stand for democracy, for freedom of the press. This is just going way too far. The president of the United States is inciting violence against the free press. And America, we cannot stand for it.
I mean, it is just kind of theater of the absurd, right? I don't think any of us would have thought that this is something that the president, any president, would do. But in particular, it just comes, as you mentioned, right after the shooting of Steve Scalise. Republicans and Democrats said it's time to take the rhetoric down a notch, and this clearly does not do that.
And everyone that we spoke to on the Hill right after that incident said the president was actually quite good on that stage. He was reassuring. He called for the country to get together. He gave a really good speech and visited the hospital to see Steve Scalise. And now this, I know a lot of people who work for CNN who have to be scared and wondering why the president has decided to physically pummel somebody with the CNN logo on his face. So it'd be interesting to get some reaction.
Nobody at CNN is scared. If anything, this is making each and every one of us more resolute not to cower at the bullying of this president. This is a free press. This is a free country. This is a democracy. And if he thinks that with these little tricks, he's going to scare Jeff Zucker, he's going to scare anybody at CNN, he's got something different coming. We are resolute at continuing searching the truth, speaking the truth, and calling out right versus wrong.
And I'm sitting here thinking now, what do Americans think when they look at that? What do those voters think who I talk to in Ohio? I know that when we talk about ourselves and we say, oh, it's terrible that he's going after the media, but that's a
pummeling somebody from CNN?
Well, I think that my guess is the president doesn't regard this as literally inciting people to violence.
I'm sure he thinks it's funny.
And I think that most people see it and they think pro wrestling is fake. Yeah. And they think that's sort of what he's getting at here. The problem is that it's more juvenile behavior. It's something that most people, including a lot of his own supporters, want him to quit doing, and he can't do it. You know, I didn't agree with the way Thomas Bossert was talking about this, but I think he's right that it is genuine in the sense that he is showing us genuinely who the president
Ramesh,
is.
This is not funny. Look, there's way too many.
I didn't say it was.
I know, but I mean, there's way too, and he can't think it's funny. There's way too many unstable people out in the streets right now at this time of impassioned and heightened passions. We all know it. We've all seen it. We have seen the results of harassment. We've seen the results of shootings. We've seen the result of violence out in the street. And for the president of the United States, who is supposed to be unifying this country on a July 4th, weakened, to be tweeting out incitement to violence. It is incitement to violence. Let us not parse words. Let us not call it by any other name. It is disgusting by this president. Yet one more disgusting act.
I just love Anna Navarro. She gets down. I love watching her. I love hearing her. And the thing about Anna Navarro, folks, she is a Republican. And she gets in Donald Trump's ass more times than anybody else. She should be on Donald Trump's radar, but he's keeping quiet about her. I mean, she just tells it like it is. She gets on these shows, talk shows, radio shows, and she gets on them and she tells it like it is. And she's right. She's majority of the time, she's right, if not all the time. I just love Anna Navarro. I'm pretty sure the cable networks, the cable talk shows hosts, they love her too, because every time you look around, she's on somebody's show. She's on somebody's show. And she's a Republican strategist. She's a Republican. And she nails Donald Trump. You would think, listening to her by listening to Anna Navarro, you would think that she is a Democrat or a liberal or something, but she's a Republican, but she sounds like a Democrat. She sounds like a liberal. You know, she's a Republican. So by her being a Republican, they can't come out and say, oh, that's just a Democrat. But no, that is a Republican. And I love Anna Navarro because she's like so many people. She's unlike so many guests that appear on some of these cable and network talk shows who don't answer the question, talk over the question, try to defend something that's indefensible. They don't talk straight. They talk out of their butts. But Anna Navarro, she gets right to the point. She says things that you're only thinking about saying. She says things because she's right, and she knows she's right. And other people around her, they're glossing over stuff. They're trying to be so statesmanlike when they are talking about Trump or some other thing that's political, but not Anna Navarro. She comes straight at you. She comes straight out. And that's why they love her. That's why they love having her on their shows. And I would love to have her here, but I've seen her and heard her so many times that I just about know what she's about and what she's going to say. And she knows that's the reason why they love her and want her on, keep having her on those shows, because she's so blunt and straightforward, says what's on her mind. She says the things that other people are afraid to say, and she comes out with them. A lot of these people are afraid to say that Donald Trump is a whatever. You can put any other adverb in there that you want. But Anna Navarro, I just love her, and she's just tells it like it is. She's blunt. She's straight to the point. She doesn't sugarcoat it. If you don't know her, if you haven't heard her, get to know her. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're liberal, Democrat, independent. She is very, very interesting, and I think that they may give her her own show. Or they may ask her to run for office, but I don't think they're going to ask her to run for office as a Republican. You know, she'd have to probably change her stripes. Hey, run as an independent, because a lot of people who are or were a part of the Republican Party, they've left the Republican Party. a lot of Donald Trump supporters, they have gone. They've left him because they are so surprised at the turn of events that are currently happening with his White House. And there was something Donald Trump is, you know, as you probably heard about the Russia thing with Jared Kushner and Paul Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. Of course, Donald Trump is defending his son. But from meeting with the Russians, well, sometimes you meet with people like that. Remember 4 or 5 months back, every one of those folks in Donald Trump's circle was saying that nobody met with the Russians. They all were saying that no one met with the Russians. Kellyanne Conway, no one met with the Russians. Suddenly, it turns out that Donald Trump's son met with the Russians. And there's proof that he met with the Russians. He said he met with the Russians. And now Trump is coming out, well, there's nothing wrong with meeting with the Russians. These people are lies. They just lie through their damn teeth. They lie through their teeth. I want to say, folks, the show today is only lasting for 30 minutes, okay? It's a 30-minute show. It's not an hour and a half long show for reasons unknown, but that's just for today, okay? It's just for today. All righty. I'm looking at something on the computer here. I'm on Facebook. And just like I was saying moments ago, Bruce Rauner alienates his own Republicans that were in his corner. A lot of these people are quitting because it's hard to work with him. He's very difficult to work with. He's mean, he's nasty, he's brutal, and he's the governor of Illinois, and we don't like him here, okay? And he's running for re-election. I don't know how the hell he thinks he's going to win. I mean, he hasn't done anything positive for the state of Illinois. Nothing positive. Lied, blaming other people. We have a budget, but it has nothing to do with him, the governor. You know, he's not running Illinois. He's destroying Illinois. So the General Assembly took over and overrode his veto on the budget. And now we have a budget. And he's pissed. He's going around firing everybody in his circle, firing good people, people who had nothing to do with the override. He's just angry. You know, he's angry. I guess he's trying to please his backers and donors, people who've given him millions of dollars to win this thing, and he lost it. So now he's got to say, hey, wow, you know, he lost it. And he's going to continue to lose because we're not going to, if Governor Rauner doesn't do his job in the state of Illinois, we're going to do it. Either he does his job or we are going to do it for him. And that's what should be happening in each and every state. If these guys in office do not do their jobs, if they do not perform their duty, then we, the people of the United States, we, the voters, we who care about what's going on in government, we will do their jobs for them. And then when election time comes, we will kick them out to the curb. And that's what happened in the state of Illinois. We did his job for him. So why do we need him? He hasn't done a goddamn thing since he's been governor. Nothing. And he's threatened to veto a school funding formula for pensions. He's threatening to do that. Matter of fact, he said he was going to do it. You know, he's saying that, hey, bring a bill to my desk. Bring that bill to my desk. Bring one to my... Why bring a bill to your desk when you're just going to veto it? That's stupid. Oh, he sounded like he was so gleeful. Oh, bring the bill to my desk. Put a bill on my desk. I want to see it on my desk. What? So you can sit on it and so you can so you can veto it. And this is why I keep saying Illinois, the state of Illinois, the General Assembly should override this guy once again. And more likely, as I've said earlier, more than likely, But July 1st, 2018, he will totally veto another budget bill for 2018. I'm pretty sure the legislature know about that, so I'm pretty sure they may be gearing up to override him again. Ronner has to understand something. When he doesn't do the right things for the state of Illinois, he will be overridden. And that's going to make him look really, really bad and weak when it comes for his reelection. I don't see why the guy's running for reelection. He can't win. I mean, it must be his pride or something. He cannot win. I mean, when he became governor of Illinois, he was rich. He bought the office, basically. He was out there giving out free gift cards to people who were going to vote for him. Then he had a few flunkies and yes men in the General Assembly. That's one of the reasons why they couldn't override him the first and second time when he vetoed the budget for the state of Illinois. But two members of the Republican leadership in the state of, in the state General Assembly has had enough of Bruce Rauner and have announced they are leaving their post. They've had enough. I mean, it was one woman who worked with Bruce Rauner. I won't call her name. She was so sick and fed up of this guy. She resigned and she, you know, appeared on television and she was crying. She was crying. She's a Republican. Okay. She's a Republican. She was crying because she could not convince him or try to convince him to see that he was destroying the state of Illinois. He was alone doing it, but this guy blaming others. I knew better. I knew that this guy was blaming other people for his lack of leadership and his lack of the ability to do his job. Whereas some people voted him in to do. Oh, there's a lot of people out here right now that saying that they regret that they voted for this guy. But Bruce Rauner, like Donald Trump, he doesn't care who he hurts. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't give a damn about Illinois budget, schools, the streets. He doesn't give a damn about your job. It's all about what he wants. It's his way or the highway. And come November 2018, we're going to give him his own private highway. And he can ride forever because he will not be governor of Illinois. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We got about 1 hour left into the show, folks. And we did a 1 hour show, 60 minutes today. So tomorrow it'll be a full show. So don't worry about it. We'll be right back.
When I first saw the tweet this morning, I was frankly disgusted. I thought to myself, this dude has got such a fixation with women and blood. What is wrong with him? And then you remember that this dude, this disgusting dude, is the president of the United States. And you realize just how much he is diminishing the presidency of the United States. You realize that what he is doing is not just acting for Donald Trump. He's acting for all of us. He's acting for our president. And he is embarrassing. He is shameful. He is disgusting. And I'll say this about Republicans. I'm really tired of hearing words like disappointed, like disturbed, like I'm bothered, like I wish he wouldn't do it. It's time that somebody looks at the camera and looks at him and calls him up and says, listen, you crazy lunatic 70-year-old man, baby, stop it. You are now the president of the United States, the commander in chief, and you need to stop acting like a mean girl because we just won't take it. We won't vote with you. We won't work with you. I can't start talking about tax reform. I can't start talking about health care reform because I can't get past the fact that we have a president who lacks the sufficient character. We have a president who is mean. We have a president who is nasty. We have a president who is immature, unstable, and just acts like a crazy person with anybody who attacks him because he's got thin skin and he is never going to pivot. And anybody around him, whether it's his daughter, his chief of staff, his wife, who I remind you had said her signature issue was going to be fighting against online bullying, or any Republican on the Hill, stop enabling him. Confront this and confront this hard, or it will never stop, and it will embarrass all of us. It will take the presidency low, low, low.
I suspect that
the George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air.
And Navarro.
It is all about making the world a better place. Join me.
According to sources within the White House, based on a new Politico story, Trump's legal team is getting super angry about the fact that he will not listen to any of their legal advice. In fact, sources within the White House say that lawyers will go up to Trump, say, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And then he goes and tweets something stupid at the media trying to refute the Russia story. And then they have to have the exact same conversation with him over and over. The sources claim that Trump's lawyers are getting so mad with his tweeting because they're afraid he is going to further incriminate himself into some of the ongoing investigations. And to me, that is just the greatest part of this entire story. Donald Trump is his own worst enemy. And that's not just people who don't like Trump saying that. That's the people who are hired to defend him from these investigations, who are telling him, for the love of God, stop tweeting. You're going to get yourself in so much trouble. And of course, Donald Trump, being the narcissistic know-it-all that he is, thinks that he knows better than people who went to law school and have spent their careers defending criminals and trying to get them out of prison. He thinks he knows better. And that's why he's not listening. You can't rein in a personality type like that. It is a psychological construct within his brain that tells him that he is better and smarter than everyone else. No one can tell him what to do. And again, that's not necessarily an attack on Donald Trump. That is what that particular personality type, those are the symptoms of it. And yes, what Donald Trump is exhibiting are considered symptoms, not personality traits. They're symptoms of an illness. And this poor legal team, who I actually do have a little bit of sympathy for, is sitting there day after day trying to tell him to keep your mouth shut. Put your hands in your pockets and don't touch your phone. If you do that, we might be able to help you. But this man is so narcissistic, so arrogant, that he thinks he can tweet his way out of these investigations. And if he continues it, even his lawyers are not going to be able to defend his actions much longer. If you like this video, make sure that you like, comment, and share. And most importantly,
that's what I was saying. Trump is his own worst enemy. I was saying that months ago. You know, I mean, he is 7 months into his presidency and it is going down the tubes. You know, Trump is out there saying now that most politicians would have gone to a meeting like the one Don Jr. went to. That's a lie. Most politicians would not have gone to meet with Russians because they know that's a treasonous act. Donald Trump is trying to defend the indefensible. It shows how much of a liar he is. It shows how much of a narcissist that he is. And he's not going to change. Folks, we live in a world where we have to fight back. We have to fight back. We have to not sit back and just let things happen. We have to get out there and do things. And people are, and I applaud them. There's people out there here already who are protesting Trump every day, all the time. There is something, because there is always something about Donald Trump that you don't like. And the Republicans you don't like, because the Republicans in Congress, they control everything. So they're the ones who are aiding and abetting Trump. They are the ones who are keeping this guy in office when they know damn well he's unfit. They are keeping this guy. But once Donald Trump does something really, really awful that's going to upend this country, they will have no other recourse but to kick this guy out. But I can see why they're not messing with Donald Trump at this point, because there's 4 or 5 investigations going on. They're going to, I'm assuming that a lot of these Republicans who are not doing anything about Trump's behavior, they're waiting on Robert Mueller, the special prosecutor, to get his investigation of this Russia meddling thing over. And they're going to assess maybe access his fit for being in the White House. And I've said this before. I think these people done destroyed the White House. The White House is full of gangsters and thugs, and Donald Trump is the godfather from the 1972 movie. He's Marlon Brando. I mean, yeah, and then you got his mall, Kellyanne Conway. She just trashes the White House and the Oval Office. It's just awful that we've got people in the White House who don't know what they're doing, lie every chance they get, and then lie some more, and then throw stuff out here at the American people, thinking we're stupid enough to believe it. Some are. But anyway, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're only doing an hour today, folks, 60 minutes for some reason. But we will be back on the air our usual time, 6 o'clock to 7:30 every single day. I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you. I want to thank you for listening. And I hope you tune in every day. And if you do, tell other people about the show. All right. The George Wilder Jr. Show on the air.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I do appreciate your time. Your time is valuable, and I do appreciate it. And we're just about off the air, folks. I want to say have a great day, have a great week, and even have a better weekend. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bye-bye, everybody. I wish you all my best. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.